find my best rants. That'll fill a good 15 minutes right there.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 399, recorded on September 14th, 2015.
Welcome to the 399th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 232nd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Scott Durr.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and sometimes includes witty banter.
Witty banter. Yeah, so, you know, we know that an incredible milestone is coming up next episode. It's the 233rd episode of Video Game Roundtable.
Which also means the 400th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast.
Yeah, and we have a special... Now, actually, this is not a special question of the week, because we actually asked this question of the week in the last episode, but it's going to be the same question of the week this week.
And, why is that, Jonah?
Well, because since you are going to be stopping as a... next episode will be your last as a regular host.
It's true. Oh, that's so sad.
The question of the week will be, what will you remember most about Paul's tenure as a regular host?
You know, 400 episodes came and went so quickly.
Last week we asked catchphrases. I'm just going to do a catch-all. Catchphrases, everything, you know.
Paul moments? Are we going to have a highlights reel? We should have a highlights reel.
Well, you can have a highlights reel.
Find my best rants. That'll fill a good 15 minutes right there.
Oh, well, yeah, there's plenty of rants out there. Actually, you know, we have an entire episode that we did not air, and that's 391.
What did I rant about then?
You know what? I think you did rant. It was just me and you, but you... Oh, no, you weren't ranting. Since it was a extremely slow week, we were discussing... we were getting your impressions of certain characters from My Little Pony.
Yeah, the main six. M-A-N-E.
I went beyond six, actually. I went from
you got into a couple of other secondary and tertiary characters.
You know, they were talking about that one villain was rescued from the scrappy heap in season 3. I forgot his name, but they actually added a motivation for that villain. So
rescued from the scrap heap of season 3.
No, he was rescued from the scrap heap in season 3 by an unpopular villain who was given better motivation and a reason to care about him during the, I think you raved about the season 3 arc, actually.
Wait, are you sure you're not talking about season 4? Because that was the good one.
No, season 3. I mean, I didn't say it was the best ever. I'm just saying it was a good season 3 arc.
I'm starting to forget what happened in season 3 now. I know, I'm a bad brony.
Well, I'll find out in a moment, but... Paul, what have you been playing?
So I have moved on to Heroes of Might and Magic 4 because, goddammit, Steam will not let me play the Heroes of Might and Magic 3 that I purchased because they have some kind of fucking philosophical problem with Windows XP. And I refuse to upgrade to another inferior operating system.
Hold on. You said that, I don't know, I don't know. What's it called? I never really remember having problems with Windows XP and Heroes 3. That's all.
Yeah, no. It's the fact that Steam has some kind of philosophical problem.
Steam.
Okay. And that's how they distributed the Heroes 3 from the Humble Bundle that I bought. Hmm. And they won't let you... They refuse to support XP on any of their products. So Steam can go fuck itself, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
I mean, it really comes down to it. They're not going to make me change to accommodate them because they don't want to spend... the whatever $2,000 or $3,000 that it might take to make a product, by the way, which worked on Windows XP originally. It would cost them $2,000 or $3,000 just to leave it alone.
Ouch. So
I'm not going to update to an inferior operating system to please Steam. Steam can go fuck itself.
It's the tyranny of the majority.
Absolutely. No, it's the tyranny of private business.
Well, I mean, like, the majority of people are on Windows 7 or Windows 8, now Windows 10.
Right, so and they're doing nothing but complaining about it. They're doing nothing about complaining because they're not getting what they want.
Yeah.
I refuse to let industry dictate what my purchasing decisions are going to be when I'm unhappy with the available products. Why should I upgrade when the quote-unquote upgrade is to something inferior? Okay, so that was a borderline rant. That was just a warm-up for episode 400.
Okay, so, yeah, you have a better memory than I thought. The character that I'm thinking of was Discord.
Yes, Discord. I like Discord.
And the thing is, after the season 4 premiere, people who hated the reformed Discord warmed up to him after he was established as sort of a mischievous guy.
Yes. I mean, because they kind of, like, watered him down. Like, they reformed a bad guy into, like, a secondary good guy. But, I mean, as long as he's still, you know...
A little bit
causing
of a bitch.
Exactly, causing trouble, then right. It's okay. But he wasn't, like, he was a little too nice at one point. For most people, myself included, frankly.
Okay, so here's a question that another My Little Pony fan or brony would ask you is, what do you think of Princess Cadence?
I don't know. She seems like a hackneyed convenience. Both her and her husband, Shining Armor, which is Twilight's brother and sister-in-law. They just kind of like got introduced out of nowhere because the pony team felt like having a wedding. So how do we make this important to the main characters? Oh wait, here's Twilight's brother that we haven't talked about for two seasons.
Hmm. So you've been getting back on topic. You've been playing Heroes 4. How far have you gotten?
Heroes 4. I'm still somewhere in the first campaign. Mm. Keep in mind. Oh fuck! I just spilled my soda. I just spilled my soda all over my power cord.
Ooh,
that's bad.
Get that towel out. Get the paper towels out quickly.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Before I fucking electrocute myself over here. No, it was just, it actually fell mostly on my garbage pile.
You know, that would be one way to end your, that would be a really dramatic way for you to end your tenure with it, is just electrocute yourself and die.
Well,
that was
really dark.
You know, it's sort of like, no, it's like, you know, congratulations, Paul, they love it. Yeah, but you can only do it once.
For my next trick, I'm going to electrocute myself.
Now, did you, I'm pretty sure you saw that episode, it's not an episode, actually. Pretty sure you saw that short of Bugs and Daffy trying to outdo each other. You know, Bugs would keep on overshadowing Daffy until he finally had it. And he decided to do a trick that he pouring nitroglycerin, drinking nitroglycerin, drinking blah, 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 and then finally swallowing a lit match to explode. You know, Bugs.
Great trick, but you can only do it once.
Yeah. Great trick, Daffy. They loved it.
As long as you continue to abuse yourself, Jonah, that's really all that matters.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
That means you're the only one laughing at that retelling.
Okay. Well, you said you meant amuse. You said, I thought you said abuse yourself.
No. I said amuse yourself.
No, I thought you said abuse.
Well,
that's completely
then that's just
me abusing myself
before.
Is that's... a me abusing myself is a completely different hobby.
Well, as we've discussed before, the waxy buildup in your ears.
Mm. So yeah, you're.
Aren't
you're...
you all gonna miss this witty banter?
Yeah. So you're doing Heroes 4. How far have you gotten?
God, it's insanely hard. I thought the last one was hard, but this is ridiculous.
Really?
Especially with the new angles.
You know, the thing is
I don't know. I think I'm through like 4 or 5 quests. I might be through one whole arc actually at this point. Mm.
Would you ever do a team up? The great thing about Heroes, all the multiplayers, when you're playing with other players, is that you could actually set up teams. So you and your friend could actually team up against the AI rather than having to whack each other, you know? So
because I don't really care for whacking my friends. Quiet you.
Anyway, team up with your friend so you can beat up the AI, or at least team up, you know, so you don't have to be at each other's throats. So.
Yes, that's exactly. Cooperative play is a thing in game design, I will have you know.
It's actually cooperative competitive since you're teaming up against other teams, you know, but at least they're AI. Do you ever play that kind of multiplayer on Heroes?
Not really.
That's all I did with Heroes is do co-op multiplayer with my friend.
And I usually enjoy most the exploring the different maps.
Mm.
I don't like once I've seen them all, I usually lose interest.
Yeah.
In like trying to do like the 9 million other little mini quests.
Well, that's why I make my own maps and randomize a lot of the elements.
Right, but I wouldn't want to play the same map over again a second time is the problem.
Oh, okay. So how about you, Scott? What have you been
doing? Oh, yeah, Scott's here.
Two games.
We can talk about Scott more.
Two games. I was playing King's Quest, and oh. I got another coin and then another coin. So apparently, yeah, when you get to the village, you're just going to end up doing all three of the choices for the coin thing. You just have to do them in a different order or whatever. Mm-hmm. So basically, I got stuck, and so I decided to play this game, Oceanhorn, which is basically a Zelda Wind Waker copy, but it's fun, and it's not cel-shaded. It's
Wind Waker, Paul's like favorite of the Zeldas, right?
Not even.
But, you apparently don't sail around for hours. You pretty much just sail right to the island that you're going to.
Well, that's a nice refreshing change.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the Pokemon swimming. It's like, oh, you're just going to go across this water to this little island, and then back again.
Right. Yeah, so it's quicker, and just it's a nice little short sailing trip, and there's actually people sailing when you go around the ocean. There's apparently debris in the water, because, you know, humans, they litter. And, you go onto the island, and...
Is this a Japanese game? Because they're very concerned about water pollution.
You can also,
well, because
you also
we only
level
have
up.
One planet.
No, but I mean Japanese in particular. I mean, I forgot the name of the Spirited Away and some other anime that I've seen. You know, they focus on that a lot. Well, a lot of ecological messages.
Studio Ghibli.
Ghibli.
Ghibli, yeah.
Ghibli.
Miyamoto, I think.
Ghibli Puffs?
That's Pokemon. That comes later in the podcast, Paul. So, Paul, did you really hate the sailing in Wind Waker?
Yes, it was so tedious and so boring.
What about the character design, Paul?
He was uninspired.
Okay.
I didn't really care for it.
You didn't like the cartoony Link? Or...
I mean, I've said it before. My problem with the entire Zelda franchise is that I am the only person probably in the entire world who has their concept of Link and Zelda stuck in the 1987 cartoon.
Oh.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to say the
I know.
EY, actually. I'm sorry. No, EM.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't say the catchphrase. Don't do it. Because I'll just have to murder you.
Well, you could always bring up the CDI game. And
first of all, that is an unsanctioned nightmare. And we shall not...
I thought you were going to say it didn't exist.
It's an unsanctioned nightmare.
They really do need to make a Zelda that... need to make a co-op Zelda where it's Link and Zelda fighting against Ganon. Or somebody else, even, you know.
How about a Legend of Zelda game in which you're controlling Zelda?
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, actually make it the Legend of Zelda.
No, it would be the Adventure of Link.
Link's been captured by a female Ganon. Although, you know, we don't know, you know, in the game, you know, Link gets hit on by a lot of women, and he doesn't seem to show that much interest in them.
Well, because he only has eyes for Zelda, clearly.
Or Zelda's just his best buddy.
He only has eyes for Zelda.
Okay. I've never seen you in someone like that before.
Not everybody's gay, Jonah. Jesus Christ.
But, you know, Zelda, the way he dresses and his cute little cat.
Just because you want to do him in the butt doesn't mean he's gay.
Really? I don't want elf butt.
That's not what I've heard about your Dragon Age account, Jonah.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Now, is Zelda an elf, really? I mean, is Link an elf?
They're not elves. They are elf-like people called the Hylons.
Hyruleans.
Yeah, but the elves in Dragon Age are called Dalish. I mean,
they're elves.
Okay. So, yeah, our elves are different.
They're only different because Tolkien probably copyrighted the word, and they're now proprietary.
I think you can only
either them or Hasbro.
I think it's only with Hobbit, because in all the literature that isn't Tolkienian, you call them halflings, not hobbits, even though technically they're hobbits.
Yeah, or Kender if you're Kryn.
Oh, yeah.
So, you're playing this ocean-going game, Scott.
Yeah, and I just started it, but basically there's this evil wizard who found this like laser machine from the depths of the earth and brought it up and went to start destroying these kingdoms. So now your father has gone off to, I guess, stall the ocean horn, which is the machine, and now you need to follow in his footsteps to finish the machine off. I haven't really found out why he felt that he needed to do it this way, but it's kind of a hero's journey. So, and his mother's dead, and it's really tragic.
Okay, well, a hero's journey. Are you talking about Joseph Campbell sort of thing?
Yeah, a hero's journey where the hero, his mother, father die, and then like his village is burned. And basically something sets him on his journey.
I wouldn't want to be a mother or a father or parents in these fantasy places, especially
right?
If you're Disney.
If I find myself in a fantasy universe, I am never fucking having children, ever.
Because you have to die for them.
Exactly!
If you're Disney, if you're Disney, don't be a mother, ever. Because you'll die.
Well, in real time, the father survives, but the mother is dead. She died. She didn't even.
Well, if the mother's already dead, then the father's a goner.
Yeah, but I know, like in Harry Potter, the parents were killed,
and don't be Luke's aunt and uncle either.
Yeah, exactly. It just the list goes on and on about how many heroes. Their parents, or their person that raised.
They're either dead or evil. So, if they're not dead, they're evil.
Oh yeah, good call. If they're not dead, they're evil.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I didn't like Aragorn so much, because it was like you're reading it, and this guy that raised him starts giving this freaking speech about all these words of wisdom he needs to know, and I'm like, you're about to die, aren't you? And then like five paragraphs later, he's dead.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't have said that he only has 3 more days till retirement. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, that too.
And he's never been happier than he has ever been in his life. Everything's going great for him. Someone sent him a T-shirt that says "Dead Meat" on it. So, we're gonna move on to the news items now. I forgot what I'm playing. So I've been playing Super Happy.
Nobody cares what you're playing, Jonah.
Super Happy Fun Baseball. Or whatever it's called, Super Mega Baseball on the Xbox One. And the more I play it, the more I'm enjoying it, because even though it's cartoony characters, like I said 2 weeks ago, the physics are real and the gameplay is real. So it's, I would like a proper Xbox 360 game on my, a baseball game, a licensed baseball game on my Xbox 360. But for now, this is filling my need. For baseball. I haven't been really playing anything else, actually. Although, since I was laid off on Friday, I'm going to be having a lot more time to play games. So,
aw, we're sorry. But you did remind me of the People's Court there for a minute. The physics are real. The adventures are real. These are not actors.
I was thinking of Sisto in that episode of DS9 where it's real! It's real!
I don't remember that episode of DS9.
Yeah,
I remember that episode of DS9.
I'm glad Paul does. Thank you.
See who's got your back there? Who's got their back there, buddy?
Yep,
me. That's who.
So, anyways, we're gonna move on to the first news item, which is not listed because some interesting news happened today, and the problem...
Because you like to see if we're on our toes and paying attention.
Well, the problem is that, this past week was both slow and fast. There's some news items that are major, but there weren't many of them.
And it's also Rosh Hashanah.
And today, we have some major news regarding Nintendo. Nintendo names a new leader after sudden death of CEO, and this comes to us from Fortune magazine.
You're kidding. Okay, continue.
2 months after the passing of its former CEO, who would be, of course, Satoru Iwata, Nintendo has announced who will take the company's helm. The Japanese company announced today that Tatsumi Kimishima, a former banker and longtime Nintendo director, is the choice to take over as CEO in the wake of the July death of Iwata, who was leading Nintendo for the past 13 years. Since Iwata's passing, executive directors Yenyo Takeda and Shigeru Miyamoto have been steering the company, with the most speculation centered around Miyamoto, who's noted, of course, for creating classic Nintendo franchises, which include Mario, Donkey Kong, and The Legend of Zelda, as the presumptive pick to be the next Nintendo CEO.
Instead, that would have been a terrible choice, but...
Well, that's what the people assumed. You see, there's a big difference between what people think and what actually happens.
Yeah.
Please continue, though.
It'll be the lesser-known Kimishima, who joined the company's Pokemon subsidiary in 2000 before becoming a Nintendo director 2 years later. Kimishima now has to fill the large shoes left behind by his predecessor, Iwata, who passed away at the age of 55 due to a bile duct growth having led to the gaming company.
Ugh.
Yeah. After having led the gaming company through one of the most successful periods just as its fourth president and CEO. Iwata's legacy at the helm of Nintendo will probably be the Wii console, which sold more than 100 million units.
Hmm.
Now, there's more to this, but that's actually
legacy.
Later news. So, now, Paul... You said that Miyamoto would be a terrible choice.
Would be a terrible choice. I mean, don't get me wrong. The man is a brilliant game designer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just like Vanessa Williams' character in the Ugly Betty TV show, let creatives do what creatives do and let somebody who's more concerned about money handle the money and the business. It's like they're not everyone is good at everything, and it just seems that the better one is at one, the worse they are at another.
Yeah, I mean, the guy took over the Pokemon subsidiary in 2000, and I think that is when it really exploded. I mean, Pokemon was popular before 2000, it was on the handhelds, but at 2000, it just went boom. So the movie came out, it just seemed like Pokemon became the big thing. In the U.S., because I know that Pokemon 2000 was released as a movie in Japan a lot earlier.
See, it's just like the key to being creative is to innovate, and the key to successful business is to capitalize on what has already been done. So there's two completely different mindsets that are going on there. So it doesn't at all surprise me that Miyamoto's project, which started as I wonder what collecting bugs would feel like in a video game, is taken to a different place by a business-minded, let's capitalize on these awesome characters person.
Yeah, the other thing, though, is you also have to make sure you don't run the property into the ground, which is something that Kimishima did not do.
I don't know.
I've
lost track of how many Pokemon there are now. I mean, they seem to be largely interchangeable, except for, like, a handful of the ones from Red and Blue.
Well, the kids
still,
know.
I think, the most recognizable, frankly.
Okay. Scott?
It does seem like it's good. I think Paul had a point about let the business person do the business and creative do the creative. I wasn't sure about that at first, but not everybody's good at everything. And you got somebody that can handle the accounting and all the how to make money, then that's good. And I just hope that they stick to this wanting to nurture talented people in new projects, not just polishing old IPs, but doing something different and new. I hope that's good. That's what they do.
So,
and you've touched on a really important note there, is that continuing to foster talent when you find it in an already existing in a current employee.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many times have executives been sought from, other companies or even other industries to help save, a large blue chip company that's kind of in trouble, and things didn't turn out well. I mean, I can think of maybe a handful of successful examples, but even then, like Michael Eisner, who came from you know, his background was in Saturday morning cartoons. What did he do? He took that same approach with Disney and they started making televised cartoons. So that's what's going to happen when you bring in somebody from the outside. Fostering talent from within, I think, is very, very important and often overlooked when it comes to executive level management.
Now, one thing that the article notes, which I did not say because it's the very end and it's a minor note, but it also said that the company received a boost from online gaming with the success of Splatoon, which is I wouldn't call it an online shooter. It's an online painter.
Right. You know what? It's still shooting. It's just that you have a different goal. You're not trying to kill people. You're trying to stake your territory.
Yeah. Which is actually sort of like Pepper 2, which is a game we discussed a while ago. Anyway, actually there was a game in which you were a paintbrush, and you had to paint the maze instead of a... But that's neither here nor there right now.
Ooh, better yet, there was Mario Paint.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I remember Mario Paint.
But anyway,
slice water.
See, the online space is someplace that Nintendo has not really done well at.
I don't think they've tried to. Like, I don't think they've really seriously...
They did it because everybody else was doing it, yeah. But Splatoon is a serious effort. Now all they have to do is get rid of friend codes, because friend codes won't help you. You know?
I mean, that's so tough. How do you walk that line between, you know, being able to protect your main clientele and making it easier for largely older players?
I mean, to there is one way, I think, in which you can have it so that if they don't have your friend code or you don't have their friend code, the voice is off, so that they can't talk to you and you can't talk to them. I mean, if you're really worried about online predators, I mean, the only way you can really do it is if you have contact with them. And if all you are is a brush and running around and you give orders through abstract symbols, then, you know...
Yeah,
then...
but see, that's the thing, though, is, you know, just like with, you know, DRM or anti-piracy, you know, we had things like that, too, and in Disney. And the problem is, when you build a better mousetrap, you end up with smarter mice. Even though we had, you know, pre-populated phrases in Pixie Hollow for Disney, you know, people would still find a way around it by using words that were kind of close to what they wanted, or using only the first letter, or only reading the first letter of each word. And so, just like RuPaul, you end up searching for contestants with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Okay.
You know
what I find ironic is that Nintendo's trying to get into online, and all of the big Xbox One indie games are now boasting they have same console on split multi, you know, multiplayer, you know, in which everybody's on the same console and playing together side by side. I find that vaguely ironic. That, hey,
there needs to be more of that.
Nintendo, we're online! Xbox One, hey, guess what? You can play with your friends in the same room! I mean, yeah, I know. There's something to be said for local multiplayer.
Yeah, there's not enough, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what third-party companies are trying to bring back to consoling. I mean, if you look at the entire Toys to Life category... That's what it is. People playing together. Multiplayer on one console.
As well as Lego. And Lego has been doing that since they did the first Lego Star Wars, is just encourage console multiplayer.
See, that's going to be an interesting conversation to get into at some point, is whether or not the early Lego games will count as Toys to Life category.
Well, Disney owns... Well, no, you see, the thing is that Lego... That's why Lego... is owned by Warner Brothers, who have their own catalog. So
Lego is owned by Lego.
Warner Brothers is...
No, Lego is owned by Lego. That's a partnership that you're thinking of.
Okay. Well, they're actually partnering with Universal, too, because they have Back to the Future and stuff like that. So anyway, they're doing a lot of...
You make my brain hurt.
What?
You make my brain hurt sometimes.
Wait, it's Universal, right? I know it's Amblin is the production company for Back to the Future because it's Spielberg, but
yes,
but it was Universal,
but
right?
None of the, yes, you're correct, but those are partnerships. That's
no, I'm just saying. What I'm just saying is that travel. Well, Warner Brothers is publishing Lego, the Lego game.
Right, but Lego, the Lego brick,
right,
and all associated trademarks are owned wholly by the Lego,
Lego company. Right. I'm just saying, you know, it's a partnership with Warner Brothers, and they're going with the non-Disney movies a lot, and non-Disney properties like Scooby-Doo, you know?
Absolutely, and those, I'm glad that there are, that there is space for those properties to come into the Toys to Life category, because it's an enormous category. I love it, I love it.
Yeah. Sorry. But, well, I guess you can still have Jurassic Park. Since, you know, they actually, I'm pretty sure they
for Jurassic Park. I'm kind of over the dinosaurs.
I get it, but they just released Lego Jurassic Park, and I'm thinking about Lego Dimensions right now. So
oh, I mean, I have such a major hard on for Lego Dimensions right now. Can't even tell you.
How about, well, remember, Lego Dimensions is also doing Doctor Who, so yeah,
they have to get.
He's
that.
Waiting. He's Paul's waiting for the Rose Lego. Wait, do you like Rose?
Did you continue speaking? Because I totally blocked you out.
Wait, do you like Rose, Paul? Do you like Rose?
God, or
do you
Rose. Rose is my favorite companion.
Okay. Because the way you talk about her, the way sometimes you bitch and moan about how she's treated, sometimes I don't know.
Oh my god, but what the hell is wrong with Billy Piper's face? No, I'm serious. The poor girl got into a car accident, and it's just, it's absolutely... terrible of me to make fun of it.
And for those
and
of you
and I'm not making fun of it, it was just horribly noticeable.
And for those of you who remember the outtakes episode, or not really an outtakes, but when Jordan
our special topic episode.
Right. Jordan, Jennifer, and Paul were talking about Doctor Who, and Paul went in on a long discussion about her accident and also where Rose is and all this other stuff. So if it should still be somewhere there on the
probably the Doctor Who special episode.
Them's good listenings. I'm going to look for that.
Them is good listenings, not for nothing.
You know, maybe I'll check.
I was on point that day.
I have to check the file. I have to check the hard drive and see if it's on this computer so I could republish it.
You absolutely should republish it.
I think of the new companions, Amy is my favorite, but the old ones, I think Ace is my favorite. I just like the really tough, no-nonsense kind of characters.
Okay, if you two want to do a new Doctor Who thing, I'll record it
well,
at another time.
Well, I just finished watching all of
the
most recent Netflix available Doctor Who episodes.
Oh, so
and
you are prepared.
Somebody, Jonah, didn't watch My Little Pony, I'll bet.
I haven't had a chance to, but now that I'm no longer working, I'll have plenty of time to. Now that I'm no longer working, I'm not working right now, I'll have plenty of time.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
What do you mean by that?
You're a whiner baby.
Okay. Anyway, the next news item is related to the Nintendo's new CEO. So go ahead, Scott.
Alrighty then. Nintendo partners with Niantic Labs for Pokemon.
Hold
on, mobile.
Just do it again.
This is from.
Hold on, stop. Sorry. Just do it again. It's Niantic. You can start from the top again.
Okay. Nintendo partners with Niantic Labs for Pokemon on mobile. This is from Games Industry Biz. Nintendo's first Pokemon game on mobile will be a partnership with Niantic Labs, the studio which produced the location-based adventure Ingress, with what sounds like a similar theme, Pokemon Go, will ask players to hunt their own Pokemon in their neighborhoods, communities, and the world they live in. To help players discover nearby Pokemon as they go about their daily business, Nintendo is also making an accessory called the Pokemon Go Plus, a small device which attaches to smartphones and flashes and vibrates in the locality of a catchable Pokemon. No price was indicated for the Plus accessory, but the game itself will be free to download. With Ingress, an excellent proof of concept for Niantic's abilities in location-based gaming, the U.S. firm makes for a natural partner. Having gained independence from Google and the recent Alphabet shakeup, Niantic will also have no issues with games' iOS release. Both the Android and iOS versions will arrive this year. That's good. What was the same time, though.
So, for those you don't know, Niantic is something that takes your cell phone, and it's an augmented reality thing in which you plot and all these locations, and it actually takes a downward look at your city, and you know, and spots other people playing and does. You know, it was sort of like the game Assassination. Remember when you had a cell phone game that people would play in which, you know, they would find people with their cell phones and assassinate them, you know, with their cell phones. This, you're basically hacking and doing all that stuff. And it is exactly the sort of thing that would lend itself to Pokemon, because what is Pokemon? It's always about hunting regions for Pokemon to capture, right?
See, now I heard this story, and I interpreted it in the exact opposite way. Basically, they saved production money by not producing an outside outside world for anybody to explore, because they're like, oh, just go traipse around in your real world, and that's how we're going to save money. Which leads to the question, how the hell are you supposed to find ghost-type Pokemon? Are you supposed to go venturing around your neighborhood, your local graveyard?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll be.
That's creepy, and I'm not letting my kids do it.
Well, here's the problem: is that I doubt that's going to be the way, because you know, so there's some people who don't live near a desert or caves.
Exactly.
Or so it's probably going to be. It's probably going to be less restrictive in that way.
But then, what's the point of doing it?
Well, you still have to hunt for. You know, we don't know. I mean, they
to save production money by not having to create an overworld.
Well, what happens is that you'll be walking around and your smartphone will start vibrating and buzzing when you're near a Pokemon that you can catch.
Wait, so it's going to constantly have my GPS on, it's going to be collecting data about my daily movements, and it's going to be draining my battery because it constantly has my GPS on? That's not cool.
I don't know. It's free, though.
Yeah, it's free, except that it's going to be an invasion of my privacy and a drain on my battery.
We'll see. I mean... But maybe it's the same way as Street Pass, you know?
I was going to think...
Which is the exact same problem. Street Pass is a drain on your battery and an invasion of your privacy.
Well, you know, there are some people who don't mind, and I don't think it's going to be that invasive. Come on.
I'm more annoyed about the drain on one battery.
Well... You know, I don't think you have to have it on all the time, just when you want to play, you know, and you just...
Right, and anytime you want to play, you have to constantly remember you can't play forever because it's draining your battery.
Well, you may have it where it'll suggest a place nearby where there might be a Pokemon, you know, so it's all about that base? It's all about immersion, you know. It would be funny if they had if there was an accessory that was a Pokeball,
It's not immersive if I'm constantly acting like one of the kids from Digimon, afraid that I'm going to be kicked out of the virtual world because I ran out of power. Like, that's a little bit of a better IP matchup.
This is Nintendo. They're not going to do Digimon.
I'm pointing out.
I get it, but I'm just saying they have to do something with. Now, here's the other thing: is that lest we bury the lead here, but Nintendo is doing a Pokemon on mobiles.
Yes, Nintendo finally announced that they're doing Pokemon on mobile. Yay! We have a confirmation of a title for their new ventures.
Yeah, and here's the thing: is that you may not like Pokemon Go, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to have a traditional Pokemon game on mobile.
This is true.
So,
there's nothing that says that they don't plan on doing that.
Now, imagine if you had a Zelda Go in which you had to walk around looking for rupees or something like that.
I would murder them. I would never purchase this thing. Diehard Zelda fan that I am. I even defend Wind Waker because it had some awesome puzzles in there, even though it was long and tedious. But yeah, it's just not no bueno. I wouldn't buy it. No way, no.
That was just. How about you, Scott? What's your opinion here?
Well, I've never been really into Pokemon, but I at least thought that wandering around a real environment trying to look for the Pokemon would at least be interesting because you're exploring your own environment, and I don't know how the mechanics of what type of Pokemon is where. Maybe it'll just be basically trying to scan for something that looks wet for water and dry for.
It would be hilarious if there was some sort of environment involved, because I can just picture 50 people walking around the reservoir of Central Park looking for Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's just like, I thought maybe it'd be good for exercise a little, get people to move around, not just sit in one spot. I don't know. It seems like it could be fun. You know, I mean, the people have found ways to mod other games for Pokemon exploration, so this will be another way to do it. And, you know, I'm not really surprised that they've put it on mobile, and mobile seems to be doing very well as far as getting money. And so, makes sense.
The other thing is that this is augmented reality, and in Ingress, you know, you see with your phone, you see portals that aren't, you know, really there and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if
care for Ingress. I think it's poorly done.
If they have a Pokemon version of this, will you have virtual Pokemon sitting there on the Central Park bench or something? You know, that sort of thing. I don't know. If Nintendo does this right, they'll just be printing money.
They do it right,
that's a large if.
But I think it's very hard to screw up Pokemon. The only question is that
it's really easy to screw up Pokemon.
I don't know.
Easy to screw up anything, honestly.
The only question is, will you trust your 9-year-old kid with your iPhone?
They have their own iPhones nowadays.
My daughter doesn't have one yet, and not planning on giving her one for quite a while. So
good for you, responsible parenting, Scott. You tell them. Show them how it's
done. Here's the thing is that I'm pretty sure that if they make something like Dr. Mario, you know, on for the iPhone / Android, that would do really well, you know.
Yeah, a similar Tetris kind of thing.
Yeah.
Here's my problem, though. I mean, Tetris is the most elegantly designed game ever, and I'm not challenging that. I just think that people would be downloading it like out of nostalgia. They'd play it for like a day and then they'd move on with their lives.
The developer doesn't care. They paid for it.
Would they pay for it though, or would they just expect it to be free with the way that free-to-play games have trained the current gaming population?
Well, I mean, if they paid for it, it would be a nice break from how Candy Crush does things.
Would be.
So, anyways, we're gonna move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul. And this, I'm going to be really interested to hear what you have to say as a designer.
Hi-Rez Studios says that players make the content everyone is trying to monetize. And this one comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Todd Harris, Chief Operating Officer and co-founder of Hi-Rez Studios, has emphasized the importance of players and community in building a successful eSport. Hi-Rez Studios is, of course, the developer behind Smite and a MOBA that is available on PC and Xbox One. MOBA?
It's like League of Legends and
a massively organized battle arena. Okay.
Right. Except Smite is a first person game, not like the others.
Right. So says Harris, at the end of the day, it's all about the players, to attendees of the esports conference in San Francisco. It's important at a biz dev's esports conference to remember that they're the folks making all the content that everyone is trying to figure out how to monetize. All they want to do is make a living by being the best at what they love. They want to follow their passion, and if they can do that and make a living, they're really happy. We try to be really creative around how we do that. Most of the folks, in addition to playing the game and winning, they will be streaming and monetizing that through YouTube or Twitch. We can point our very large community to their stream and give them an additional audience. And if they're making cool, compelling content, their audience will grow. He said the company was also exploring ways to give back to the community through crowdsourcing with ideas that went beyond prize winning. These include putting team brands within the game through digital goods, like selling Smite skins featuring a team's logo and giving the team a cut of any sales.
Now, it might be confusing to some people at first. What he's referring to is not DLC content, but they record and they put on YouTube their matches, and they get the revenue stream and make money off it.
But not just their matches, but also like videos showing their strategies, how to be as successful as they are. So they really are, and largely their opinions, and they're being entertaining while doing it. Kind of the same way that, you know, we do when we discuss the news.
Now,
only their news is a lot more focused to just one title.
Yeah, and the thing is that what this brings up, which is something I've been complaining about lately, is YouTube and Content ID and how it usurps fair use, right? Because I tried to post a video of the show, but Konami decided they wanted my money that I wanted to stream, so I took the video off, you know, even though I was perfectly within my rights because it's fair use. You know, I'm showing a clip of something, you know, and a clip of their commercial, right?
Right.
And fair use says that I can do that. I can do that. It's within fair use. You know, they do it all the time with movie review shows.
Oh, yeah,
but
right.
Konami uses Content ID, sees their stuff, and say, no, we can't. You can't license it. It's ours. We're gonna make money off the video that you made. So I decided not to let them and just pulled it off. What Hi-Rez is saying is that we don't do that. We do not, you know, say no, you can't. That's ours. License.
Well, to be fair, somebody basically just has to sue Konami. Because you're right, it absolutely does fall under fair use, and the laws are very clear about this. It's that nobody wants to be bothered. Because kids are just doing it largely as a hobby, possibly as a secondary income stream, but not as their primary source of income.
See, YouTube is frustratingly not transparent, right? And it takes – they don't respond to anything, and they don't care really about if someone claims licensing because they get their cut no matter who gets the money.
Right.
And it's just too much trouble for them to deal with disputes because, let's face it, there's got a couple billion YouTube videos out, maybe trillion, you know, and they can't be bothered.
Yeah, but a smart class action lawyer.
Yeah. I mean, at some point it's going to happen.
Would round up a whole bunch of people like you or anybody else who's had a video unfairly taken down that follows fair use law.
What's the
and
really
sue both YouTube and Konami.
Well, the frustrating part is that it's YouTube's channel, and I know it doesn't make them immune from the law, right? And but the problem is Content ID is sort of like the NPAA's movie ratings. It's YouTube's. Well, it is owned by Google though. It's Google's way of self-censoring, right? By not dealing with licensing, by just not arguing with people who claim the license. You know, it's like...
It's fair use. If I were a class action lawyer, I'd be on this right now.
Yeah.
Think of the billions of dollars.
Well, I mean, for the lawyer, I mean, we're going to be like $20 for the billion people who are in that class action. I wonder
right,
if YouTube has...
Which is why I can't understand why some class action lawyer who would be the one getting billions out of it.
But I wonder if YouTube has that cannot class lawsuit us clause in there for using their thing. Like
doesn't really matter.
Microsoft and all that. Yeah.
See, it doesn't really matter, though. Those aren't legally enforceable. That's just their way of tying you up in a court for, you know, until you die, frankly.
Scott, how about you throw in here?
Scott. Yeah, we're talking about the whole Niantic.
We're talking about everything here. We were talking about YouTube, though.
Oh, yeah. The YouTube thing. There have been some major scandals with that. I know the one YouTuber, Angry Joe, tried to do Nintendo videos, and those got claimed, and he got so angry that they got claimed. He took them all down and said he wouldn't do Nintendo anymore. But he had wanted to say how much fun he had never had so much fun with Nintendo games than with the PlayStation, Sony, PlayStation and Xbox combined. But like the whole, you know, claiming his videos made him so upset that he just took all the Nintendo stuff down. So yeah, it is very frustrating for some of these.
Sort of reminds me of that little thing with Pokemon 2 weeks ago, with the Pokemon company deciding to sue. Hey, you're advertising our product and you're charging $2 to cover the bar cost. You can't do that. We're gonna sue your asses off with our high price lawyers, and then you're gonna have to pay for our lawyers.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous.
You know what? Go right ahead. Make me pay for your lawyers. I'll declare bankruptcy and you'll collect nothing.
Yeah. But getting back to Hi-Rez, and that is, I think what they're saying is that, you know, and maybe this is a message that Nintendo and the Pokemon company should listen to, is that, you know, the people who love your games are selling your games for you for free.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like a lot of these reviewers, that's what they're doing. I remember there's one reviewer that was like old classic gaming, and he would review every single game, and I don't think he would ever do negative review. He would look for like the most positive aspects of any game he was talking about, and I remember when this whole debacle started, he had to shut down his whole thing. I think almost all of his videos got claimed, and he just stopped. He had to give up YouTube entirely because almost all of his videos had been claimed, and he was like one of the most positive reviewers out there that would just, you know, look for the look for the silver lining in every game possible. You know,
the problem
amazing.
Is that the alternative Blip TV went down, which is another revenue source that went down. Then you have Vimeo, but people are sort of, you know, a little bit wary of Vimeo versus that Pixels disaster, you know, which was a different version of Content ID that went nuts, you know. And while we rightfully blame Adam Sandler's Happy Madison for that debacle, we also have to blame Vimeo for being stupid. Because, you know, you do realize that these videos that have the word Pixels in them have nothing to do with the movie Pixels. You do understand that, don't you? So, and that, they were worse. I think they were forced to take down the videos.
I say we murder all the stupid people so that us intelligent people can go back to living happy, peaceful, and productive lives.
I'm not going to get into the master race ideology there, but anyways.
Yeah, we're going to find. Yeah, it's no. You have to start defining who's the stupid people, who are smart, and that's a very,
okay,
very
stupid. Okay, better yet, how about we just name me Emperor of the Universe, and everybody will be happy.
Paul wants to live Katamari Damacy, I think. He wants to be the ruler of the... Is it King
no,
of the...
I just,
oh,
I
King
just,
of the Cosmos is his name. Yeah.
I just can't think of anybody better suited to lead than me.
Paul wants to be King of the Cosmos.
The world is a mess, and you need to rule it. I understand.
Paul is king.
Exactly. The world is a mess, and only I can fix it. Do you know what? This is exactly the problem with my generation. We were told that only we could save the world. Repeatedly. Yeah. By every video game we played.
And then you had to put up with millennials.
Don't even get me started.
Well, I had to put up with Generation Y like you, so...
Don't pigeonhole me into one generation.
You are Generation Y, as in
don't
dear God,
me into
Y.
One generation. You have no idea how old I am.
Dear God,
that's
Y.
That's part of my charm.
I was part of Generation X, and I don't even associate with that generation. I don't.
I mean, when you're 10,000 years older than dirt, I can see why.
Generation Y, for those of you who don't know, are the son of the baby boomers, and the baby boomers are those who were born after World War II. So now the baby boomers are dying off, and the Generation Xers are getting old, and the Generation Yers are getting old and cynical, and now they're directing all their hate towards the millennials.
The pattern repeats itself. History continues.
It's the circle of life.
So, Paul, what do you really think of millennials? No, I'm not gonna go there.
They're warming. They're actually just warming.
Well, they're also your clients. You know, they're the people you're catering to.
I've decided I'm no longer dating millennials.
I'm not talking about dating. You're making games for them.
Oh, I thought you meant in my personal life. No. I love making games for them. They're fantastic audiences. I'm just not going to be, you know, courting them anytime soon. Romantically.
Oh. Well, anyways, yeah. YouTube, you suck. So.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about. I forgot.
So anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Frostbite developer. The PS3 cell retarded the industry significantly. And this comes to us from Gaming Bolt. And for those of you who are not English speaking, retarded does not mean mentally retarded. Retarded means late, to make something late. So they're not using the R word here. We're talking about retarding an industry, which means not allowing it to grow.
To evolve and prosper?
To grow.
Yeah.
To grow. Okay, yes.
So the PlayStation 3 had a lot of potential, but due to its complicated architecture and complex cell CPU processor, several developers were not willing to take on the daunting challenge. There was no doubt about what it was capable of, but according to development standards, the cell processor was a pain to code for. A few developers shared their thoughts on Twitter with Steven Boberg, technical director of Frostbite Engine, saying that the cell retarded the industry significantly. It was all about complexity in all the wrong places. Leonard Ritter, who was working on Nowhere, stated that he was a fan of the ideas that the cells brought in, but the marketing left much to desired, while Oculus coder Tom Forsythe believes that the marketing idea was stupid and it totally got what it deserved. Now, for those of you who don't remember, I remember when Valve was having major problems making the orange box for the PlayStation 3 because of the cell processor.
You remember when Nazis rode dinosaurs.
The cell processor was so complicated that IBM had to send people to developers to, quote-unquote, teach them how to use it. So when you have IBM having to send out people to developers, people are supposed to already know the architecture of, you know, say, DirectX, then...
Isn't that the point of a dev kit?
The problem was that, you know, even with the dev kit, people weren't getting it. You know? And that's why it's so many terrible PlayStation 3 ports. Now, Sony had some great first-person games because, hey, they were using it 24/7, right? But you had third-party developers, and they weren't getting it, you know? Does anybody remember that? This is not too long ago. This is like 9 years ago. Eight years ago.
Yeah, sorry, I got nothing.
It's a long time.
I remember Jordan mocking the cell, but he's not here, so...
I feel like that statement that I retarded the entire industry to be a little arrogant or a little presumptuous. I mean, it might have
grandiose, possibly.
Hurt Sony, but I don't think it hurt anybody else.
Well, I mean, it hurt Sony, and Sony is a third of the home console industry.
Well, here's the problem: is that you do have multi-platform, and a lot of times
it didn't
developers want all the platforms to be working perfectly, and if one of them is difficult to develop for, either you release a craptastic buggy game like Valve did with the Orange Box, and actually if I remember correctly, Electronic Arts actually farmed that out to a third party because they couldn't deal with it. Or you have to delay the product while they're trying to get the PlayStation 3 version right. It's not a problem with first person.
Or they do what they did with Skyrim and they release it to the other systems and then just trickle the
They wait a couple of months for. Actually, I think it took them like a year and a half to get the DLC out.
They were like the dead last to get everything, and it was ridiculous.
Oh, I remember it was the Skyrim bundle. You know, the Skyrim Game of the Year edition that was like 2 years later. And it included all the DLC with the play, and say, finally, you can play.
But see, that's different. As long as you're going to include all of the DLC, if you have to wait to come out to one of the consoles and bring it in for the for the initial launch price, that I think is a much better value, frankly, and idea.
You see, but the thing is, unless you only owned a single PS3 and nothing else. Why get the PS3 version when you can get a shiny new PC version or a shiny new Xbox 360
That's
version?
That's what I did. I got the PC version.
See, I mean, if you're not going to have they weren't shy about it. They said you're not going to have this DLC, and of course, Microsoft took full advantage of it by having a 3 months exclusivity before the PC version came out.
Fantastic! They're more than welcome to it.
I'm just saying that there was no reason to buy the PS3 version of Skyrim. And that hurt Sony.
Was there no reason not to?
Only if you had a PS3 and nothing else, and you didn't have a PC that could run Skyrim, there was no reason to get the PS3 version.
Well, I mean, there are those individuals out there.
I know. They did release the base game.
I didn't get Arkham City until it came to the Wii U because I didn't have the extra finances to go get other consoles at the time.
Well, that's just the thing, though. You know, there are people who literally did not buy a PS3 because they knew that Skyrim, the game that they really, really liked, was not going to have the DLC. And for all they knew, it was never going to have the DLC. As a matter of fact, I think Bethesda said it would never be on the PS3 at first blush, I mean, they were working on it. They did work on it, but they were sort of like half-assing it, just like, well, if we can do it, we can do it. If we can't do it. And it took them 2 years to do it,
It did feel really half-assed how long it took them to get on it, and they weren't apologetic about it at all. I remember people saying like, "Oh, they better make it up to the Sony players," and no, you're
why?
You're lucky you're getting the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, I mean, eventually they got it, but by then people had moved on from Skyrim. Well, that's not entirely true. I mean,
I know I moved on from Skyrim.
I moved on from Skyrim too. I mean. I'm just almost over open world. There are a few open world games that hold my interest these days.
I am so over open world games.
Mm.
Let's go back to Toys to Life. That's a much happier topic.
I was about to say, okay, Paul's going to now discuss Disney Infinity 3.
No, I just think that Toys to Life are amazing. It's a fantastic category, and I can't wait until all of our homes are filled with every kind of little plastic doodad that we could conceive, in the same way that we all had like four Guitar Hero guitars.
I do admit that I am looking forward to Lego Dimensions just to see what it's like.
Lego Dimensions!
That does sound fun, to be able to play the game with an action figure, you know? That really does sound really awesome.
Yeah, but I just want to do this. Imagine if we had the technology for computers and all that stuff in 1977, and the Star Wars figurines were toys to life for your consoles at the time.
Oh my God, that would be awful. That would be horrifying.
What was the name of that hammerhead alien? I forgot his name. Shoot, you know.
Hammerhead alien.
Admiral Akbar.
No, that was the squid one. No, the one that looked like a hammerhead shark.
It's a trap.
No. I have to look this thing up because his name was Hammerhead. Never mind.
Yeah, I told you.
It was an Ithorian. So yeah, I mean, you know, it was an Ithorian. That's right. I mean, you know, well, 40 years ago, I could have told you the name of every single thing, like R4-D4 and stuff like that, you know.
But the mind starts going at your age, doesn't it, Jonah?
Yes, it does.
Okay. It's okay.
So,
we won't put you in the home just yet.
You know what I remember? That you could take off Darth Vader's cloak.
I'm surprised you can remember what you had for breakfast this morning.
Why do you want to take off his cloak?
Oh, because here's the thing.
Scott wins.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you why. Because when I took off his cloak, he became a good guy. Little did I know what would happen in the third film.
And how did you play with your Ken dolls, Jonah?
I did not have Ken dolls.
Liar.
No. You know what I had? I had Evil Knievel. I had Evil Knievel and also Stretch Armstrong. I never had them fight, though. I never had them fight.
I had Rambo, He-Man, G.I. Joe.
No, those are 80s. Those are 80s toys. I didn't play with 80s toys.
Oh my God, He-Man was everything. He-Man is my entire.
I feel sorry for you then.
Existence.
You see, I was gonna say that that I never did see any of Ugly Betty, but then I knew that Paul would call me a terrible person.
You're a terrible person. You're going straight to hell.
Although, you know, Manny Calavera from Grim Fandango plays Ugly Betty's dad, Tony Plana.
I love that show. It was so good.
Yeah. It's too bad you couldn't play Grim Fandango, because then you could have Ugly Betty's dad running around as the main character.
Yeah, but we covered this earlier. Fuck Steam. They can go to hell.
So
I mean, if you really... I'm just saying. This is what we call comedy. Bring it back to an earlier conversation. Fuck Steam.
So what did you think of Rarity and My Little Pony?
Yeah, I love Rarity. I have a friend. Her name is Amy. I love her dearly.
People had thought at first she was a rich bitch.
No, absolutely not. Don't put words in my mouth.
I didn't say you. I said people. I said other people.
No, I mean, Rarity is one of the most generous and giving characters, I think, in the history of media, but especially in that universe. Being, you know, the personification of the generosity that is an inherent part of friendship. And I've met a fair number of people like Rarity.
Yes, but they said that it wasn't until Suited for Success that she started having character development. See,
wasn't until what?
Until the episode Suited for Success.
No, not true. She had character development from the very beginning.
Really? Okay.
Just like all of them, they had character development in the first episode.
Okay.
Don't go there. I'll cut you. that pony just reminds me of my friend Amy every time I see her, because she is generous and fashionable and witty and so giving of herself and her time and her talents that it makes me want to be a little bit more like her every day.
See what you're gonna miss when Paul is gone, people. This is what you're going
to
miss.
Somebody who can put Jonah in their place. Scott, I'm worried about you. You're going to have a lot to deal with here.
Well, like I said, Paul will come on when Paul feels like coming on. This just means he's not...
It'll be fine.
Yes, like I've said before, I'm becoming the Barbara Walters of this program.
Okay. Anyways, we're moving on to the last item. Scott, I think... No, wait. Scott did the... No, this is you, Paul.
Me? God damn it, I have to open my notes again.
Yes.
I thought I was done. I let my notes close. Windows 10 on Xbox is called One Core. And this comes to us from Dual Shockers. During the latest episode of Larry Major Nelson Hyreb's podcast, Director of Program Management, Xbox and Windows Platform, Mike Ybarra, gave some more information about Windows 10 on Xbox One, also talking about some of the goodies waiting Microsoft fans in the near future. I can't tell if that comment is supposed to be sarcastic, but I will read on. The version of Windows 10 that is going to be included on the Xbox One is actually a, quote, highly customized version of the operating system. It was built specifically around the features needed by those who use the Xbox One. As a side note, they revealed that the usage of the Xbox One app on Windows 10 is high, and that the team is getting a lot of feedback.
Well, the reason why it's high is because
In related news, Xbox is the new water cooler.
You know, but the other thing, the reason why it's so high is because it's already pre-installed, you know, when you put on a, which is fine. I mean,
yeah,
I use it.
It's pre-installed, and it turns itself on, too, I'll bet, so that they can influence.
No, you can log out. It's just like going to Xbox One.
Yeah, you can lock it out, but the default setting is probably that it turns itself on.
No, but it doesn't work unless you actually have an Xbox account, and you have to tell it you have an Xbox account. So people are logging
right. And how many ways does it trick people into telling them that?
It doesn't trick anybody.
I am highly skeptical.
No, it's just...
I haven't looked into it because I don't have Xbox 10, Windows 10 at the moment, but I'm highly skeptical.
It's just a Windows tab.
My bullshit meter is so high on this one, I can't even tell you.
Well, what they mean, I'm pretty sure what they mean by highly customized for the version of the OS is that there are a bunch of features stripped out, so it's very specific on what kind of apps you can make, because you're not going to be able to, say, play Batman Arkham Knight if you want to, from the PC in a PC version loaded onto your Xbox One, or stuff
that's
like that.
Stupid.
I just think, well, what they probably mean is that you're going to be able to make a lot of indie games and a lot of, you know, that'll be both that you can play both on Xbox One and Microsoft and Windows 10. So I'm pretty sure, and I wonder if it's going to be the other way around too. If that there's going to be a lot of Xbox One apps that you'll be able to play on Windows 10 that you could buy for Windows 10.
Well, as long as it's all about that base, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can already play your Xbox One on your PC through via streaming on your network. They already included that.
You're starting to get really complicated on me, Jonah.
It's like playing the Wii U games on your tablet, on your controller tablet, without having to use the TV.
Oh,
sort
great.
Of like that.
I mean, I love that, but I mean, that's really simple. You just press the button. You press the one button that says switch this to tablet.
Well, in this case, you're just switching it to your PC.
Yeah, but it sounds like I'm going to have to do so much more.
But you don't own an Xbox One, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm just saying.
But you are going to have to pick a system for Kingdom Hearts 3. See, that's the problem.
I will pick whatever system that thing comes out on, specifically if it has a limited edition bonus console.
I'm pretty sure.
I will do it retail. I have been waiting 20 freaking years for that game to come out, and if it doesn't come out next Christmas, I might just kill myself.
It's supposed to come out this Christmas.
If it doesn't come out by next Christmas, I might just kill myself.
Let me see when the release date.
I sincerely doubt it's coming out for this Christmas because, I mean, it's already September, and we know nothing.
Wouldn't you be screaming about spoilers otherwise?
Well, here's the thing. You know, for our long-time listeners of this show, they will be quite familiar with this, but for anybody new joining us, for anybody trying to figure out a little bit more about Paul, I have this rule where if I know that I'm going to be consuming a bit of media, I will do anything within my power to prevent spoilers. For example, I want to know nothing about the next Zelda game because I know that I'm going to buy it day of release, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm going to buy it. They're getting my full retail dollar. Great. I want to know nothing.
I'm the reverse here, by the way, Paul. I'm just glad that they're going to be releasing Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, at least the latest versions of those, because it's like Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and Kingdom Hearts 2 Edition.
I'm so happy you're glad about something, but I'm in the middle of a rant.
Okay, I'm just saying, glad they're going to be releasing both games, because I have not played any of them, and I'm going to be completely lost in Kingdom Hearts 3 unless I get the next one.
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter what you play, you're going to be lost in Kingdom Hearts 3 anyway, because nothing about the franchise makes any sense. That's part of what we love.
Okay.
So, going back to my point, I was there at D23's Disney Interactive meeting, fourth row. I'd been there since 3 a.m, hadn't slept, but goddammit, I cried when Baymax toddled out onto the stage for the reveal that there will be a San Francisco world playable in Kingdom Hearts.
San Francisco. Oh, for Big Time 9? Oh, wait, what?
From Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6, right, yeah.
Get it together, Jonah Falcon!
But will they have a world from Inside Out? See, that's the question.
Who cares? Baymax is going to be teaming up with Sora. I cried. Nice.
Well, my franchise that I really like is Tron. So, and I know that Tron is was a part of Kingdom Hearts 1. Was it a part of Kingdom Hearts 2, too?
Think so.
Okay.
If memory serves. Why are you not giving Baymax the attention and respect he deserves? Did you not see that film? You're a terrible.
Yes, I saw the film. I wasn't as impressed with it as you are. I loved Inside Out. I'm not a big fan of Big Hero, whatever. Big Hero 5 or 6.
We have a word for people like you.
Six.
We have a word for people like you, Jonah. Loser.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, but, you know, there's some
No,
animated
you have
films
lost
that
this argument. You are a loser.
I enjoyed Wreck-It Ralph. I loved Inside Out. I'm not a big fan of Big Hero 6.
You are going straight to hell.
And the reason is that a lot of it didn't make any sense at all. Number one.
You are. Oh my God!
You know what? I suggest you watch
up your own ass.
Here's the thing. I suggest you watch Everything Wrong with Big Hero 6 to see what the problems that are in that film. They nitpick everything,
no,
but they're still
film
quality nitpicks.
There were
some things that bothered me, like the brother going into a burning building, and what actually bothered me is the kid hero worshipping a guy, the genius inventor, and then having no clue that this guy is in the same freaking city at the same university that his brother's at. How does he not know this? That just baffles me. How does he not know that?
Fair enough. What,
you know what?
He could just be a little stupid. I mean, he is 12.
A little, yeah.
I mean, fair enough. But that's, like, ridiculous.
Press X to Jason. Anyways.
He didn't realize that that's who he was talking to. Why? Because, you know why? Because nobody puts recent photos of themselves on the internet. Everybody's photo is outdated by at least 5 years. So I'll bet you it was before Callahan had gray hair and his daughter died, okay? So he was probably smiling then, too. Don't fight with me on this one, Scott. You're not going to win.
So here's the question of the week is, what do you remember most about Paul's tenure as a regular host? And
I love you,
and
Scott.
Paul is making a candidate for everybody to say what right now.
you know I love you, Scott. That's just part of my shtick.
So,
it's
yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, that is the... That is the question of the week, is what do you remember most about Paul's tenure as a regular host? Again, we don't have any listener feedback because last week was a day off, and people tend not to write in when they know there's not going to be a next week, even though we would be reading their stuff this week.
You know, if people don't write in, I might just have to start singing All About That Bass to fill time next week.
But I'm pretty sure people will write in. And, you know, because this is a milestone. And if they don't write in, I'll make some fake letters.
There you go. There you go. We're just going to get a flood of people I've never heard from before.
I'll fake them out. So, you know, we have to hear, you know, I hope we hear from Max Donovan.
Max Donovan?
Yeah. Or, you
Wait,
know.
That's not right. No, it's Max Donovan.
Or Arthur V. Or
Arthur the Fifth.
We have
Guys,
to hear from.
Come on.
We should hear from Al Fashard. Oh wait.
I mean, unless I pull a Cher. I mean, rumors have it that has happened in my people's history before.
Now you're making me think of the ending of that nanny show, when the drag queen Cher was singing.
Oh, that wasn't the finale of Fran Drescher's comedy show.
No, but it was a hilarious ending to that episode.
That was quite amusing. It was a very interesting way to solve that problem. Because, all right, for anybody who doesn't know that show, it was a major contrivance that Fran Drescher's employer was a pseudo celebrity, and that would be
a Broadway producer. Yeah.
Okay, can you let me make my point in a salient and concise manner?
Okay.
So anyway, there was a contrivance on the show that allowed guest stars to come in at any point, and it was an ongoing practice that they would have a famous guest star in for a handful of scenes, but that they would telegraph that this person would be coming as themselves for most of the episode. And so when they did the same thing with Cher, people for an entire week or however long they were advertising it, because they would show clips of people saying that Cher's coming, people were tuning in, obviously, to see actual Cher in the way that they did when she appeared on Will and Grace. However, in order to get around the plot issues on the show, they had a drag queen perform as Cher. And it was just comedy gold.
And the thing is that this drag queen looked nothing body-wise like Cher. Short, fat, you know. Even though she was wearing the hair, she was wearing the fishnets, she was wearing fishnet stockings, she was wearing the hair. But
yeah, that was kind of the joke, though, was that this performer could never pass for the real Cher, and everybody thought the real Cher was coming.
One of the funny lines is that Fran says, you know, the hard part is he's going to have to find a cab. And the bumper has him trying to hail a cab. When one stops, she gets to it, and it just drives off, and she chases it.
See, by the way, that wasn't funny. The part of the story I told was funny.
But it was funny. That bumper, what are you talking about?
No, your retelling of it wasn't.
Well, I'm not trying. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to impart some comedy lessons before I go. We all know that I'm regarded as the funny one.
I will say that the guy who plays the drag queen actually is a friend of a friend of mine. You know, my friend Steven knows him. So.
Of course he is.
I'm just saying.
I'm very happy for you.
Anyways, his name is Marvin Nathan, by the way. If you ever look up Cher the Nanny on YouTube, you'll find that closing.
I would much rather watch Chad Michaels' impersonation of Cher, frankly.
Actually, I prefer when Fran Drescher appeared as Bobby Fleckman on The Nanny.
I actually prefer Fran Drescher in The Beautician and the Beast.
Beautician and the... Oh, you mean the movie.
Yes.
Wasn't she just playing Fran Drescher in a movie?
But that's like saying, doesn't Will Smith just play Will Smith all the time? Yes. Yes, they both do.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but you think Fran Drescher does have other characters, like on This Is Spinal Tap, she plays something completely different with Bobby Fleckman. She was the best friend in Saturday Night Fever, you know, that sort of stuff.
But it's all pretty much the same character with some different details.
Not Bobby Fleckman. She's the complete opposite, which is why she was such a great contrast when she appeared on The Nanny.
I don't know. I think you're stretching.
No, what? Did you ever see This Is Spinal Tap?
You're stretching.
Anyways, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy feedback, leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast and the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum. Or send your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. You can also check out our Twitter handles. That is me at Jonah Falcon, Paul at Stager... not Stager Monkey. I'm sorry. No, it is Stager Monkey.
It is Stager Monkey. S-T-A-G-E-R Monkey.
The reason why is that... the previous host was Code Monkey, so.
Oh, well, look at you.
I'm just saying.
Comparing me to the deceased.
He's not deceased. He's just no longer on the show.
The podcast deceased.
Anyway, you can also contact Paul at Stager Monkey long after he's been on this show.
That's true.
Oh, wait. Didn't you say you might change your name or something like that?
If I do, you'll know.
Okay. Well, it isn't me that needs to know. It's all the fans that need to know.
No, I wasn't talking to you, Jonah. I never am talking to you. I'm always talking to our fans. And so, by ours, I mean mine.
Paul's talking directly to the fans now. You know, at some point...
I'm all about that, babe.
You know, it's going to be the end of Sunset Boulevard with Paul, you know, saying, all the little people out there.
The end of an era.
So are you going to go down... A staircase saying it's now your time for your close up, Mr. DeMille.
Jonah, even you're not old enough to get that joke.
Never mind. Anyways, we will see you next week for the 400th episode.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Bye, Bonds. It's still good advice. I don't care.